Thank you, Auntie Doris, for that precious word. Morning, everyone. My name is Reinald Pieterse. For those of you that do not know me yet, I'll be bringing you the word this morning. Pastor Carl is on a bit of a break today. He has an off weekend every now and again, which he deserves, as he is a very busy pastor for everyone. And yeah, so it's my privilege to bring you the word. I've been a member of Shofar Church for nearly, 14 years now. And it's been my family for exactly that time, so it's really a great family to be in. And it's amazing to hear testimonies like we've heard today that it's, you can hop from church to church and it can really, it will not bless you. It will take a promise of God and just make it null and void, because it's, there's no blessing if you cannot submit under authority. And it's something we will actually touch on this morning. Thank you. Such a blessing. In the Afrikaans service, I was dying of thirst. And now I've got oros. Thank you very much, Ini. So, and I mean, it's something that you realize that you need to commit somewhere. And you have to make the decision to really commit. Because if you just float around, you will not develop, you will not grow, you will not fulfill the promises that God has given to you. And the only way to do that is to commit. And it's something we will touch on this morning as well. And it's something that I felt in my heart, and Auntie Doris already gave you a short summary of everything, so it's a blessing as well, Auntie Doris. It's like an intro. So, but let's just close our eyes in prayer. Father God, we just come this morning, Lord. We just want to glorify you, Father, and to say that it's such an awesome privilege to be in your house here today, Lord God. And like David said, Lord God, to be just one day in your courts, Lord, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Father, we want to have that heart like David, Father, to search for you, Lord God, to have that passion, Lord, that's burning inside us, that consumes us, Lord, that we just want to meet with you, that we want to know you, Lord God, every minute of the day, Lord God, that we know that you are with us, Lord God. We want to acknowledge that, Lord God. We want to thank you for your protection. We want to thank you for your provision, Lord God, because you are the life, Lord God. You are everything to us, Father. You gave us life. You gave us a purpose and a destiny even before we were born, Lord God. And there are so many people, Lord, here today, Lord, that has been cursed, Lord God, because they feel their life is meaningless, Lord God. They feel their life has no meaning. It's got no, it's devoid of life, Father. I just come against that spirit of death, Lord, within their hearts and their souls, Lord God. I come and speak life, Lord, the life of Jesus Christ, through whose blood, Father, we are saved and cleansed, Father. That gives us direction, Father. That gives us our lives back, Lord God. The lives that you've promised us, Lord God. The lives that you've called us to, Lord God. Not to be broken, Lord God. Not to be bonded, Lord, to anything other than you, Lord God. To be binded next to you, Lord God. To walk in your fullness and your grace. We just thank you, Lord, for every opportunity to just to receive your word, Father. We just thank you for your word, Lord God. That it's such an awesome privilege, Father, to receive and to be able just to read it, Father, without persecution in Namibia, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for the lamp that it is for our feet, Lord God, that we are able to see where we are going, where we are walking, Lord, and that we are just in your presence each and every day. We thank you, Lord, for your word that's in my heart, Lord God, that you will allow it, Father, to come forth like life, Lord God. It'll be like light, Father, that flows from your mouth, Lord God. Make my heart your heart, my mind your mind. Holy Spirit, I just ask you in, Lord, just to take control. That your perfect will just come to us, Father. That we are able just to hear your word and see your will, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now my sermon today, I don't know if it is the keys of David. And this is such an awesome message for me, especially because I had a really tough week and I almost had no time to prepare. And it's really difficult, but it's also very, very awesome. That's just something I have to say, because God just comes through. He gives you something and you just have to run it, no matter what you feel like, no matter if your body feels like giving in, if you feel tired, you can't keep your eyes open. But God is faithful, and you just have to trust and rely on Him just to give you all that you desire. And I really believe this will be a word for somebody here today. And that's something that the reason why I wanted to speak on the keys of David is I recently read a book called The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck. Now, it's a psychological book. Some of you might find it very boring. But the very first statement of the book grabbed my attention. And it says, life is difficult. Who of you here thinks that life is difficult? You can be honest. You don't have to. For some people, life is really difficult at this stage. For other people, it might be they're on top of the world. They're really feeling good about themselves and at the place they are at. But this is something that I really felt, but life is difficult. I did not agree with everything in the book, but I really like this verse or how they stated it, because the sooner that we accept this fact that life is difficult, the sooner life will get easier for you. Now, that's an interesting contradiction, but it made sense to me, and it's something that also resonates with God's heart, because we as Christians, we often experience persecution, we feel persecuted, we just feel, yes, the world is against me somehow. No matter what I do, no matter what I go, how many times I pray, I just feel that as if God is almost not coming through for me. So how can it be that God loves me and He says all these wonderful things in the Word, but I just don't feel it? How can that be? How can He be a God of love and my life just feels completely and utterly without meaning? I mean, this is Christian, so if I'm the only one feeling like that, maybe I must get somebody else just to come and preach to us this morning. But this is something that God has said in His Word as well, that life is not easy. We will have trials and tribulations. We will be tested. And we can read from this in John 16 from verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Then in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Now we know for a fact that the enemy is a real person in this world. We can see that in the daily lives of people around us, the wars and all of that, where the hand of the enemy is in it just to destroy the works of God and destroy His people that love Him. And that is something that because we sinned, we allowed the devil to have authority in this world. But he is not the authority of everything. God is the author and finisher of all things. And that is something that God just laid on my heart. Because we as Christians, and this is Christians, this is not even people that does not believe in God or have God in their hearts. We so many few times have this tribulation in our lives. We feel when the enemy is coming to steal from us. We feel it when the enemy tries to kill us. And tries to destroy us, using people around us, our friends, putting us in situations that we don't want to be in, making decisions that we didn't want to make. And it's something that you have to realize that you have control over those choices in life. And the first choice, most obvious choice, is to choose God. And this is why my title of the sermon is The Keys of David, because David is such an awesome person for me. Just when you read about history, and just for a fact, this book is history. This is not fiction. This is not just a story to make us feel good. This is history. This is fact. And it's the Word of God revealed to us. And this is God's heart for us. This is His love book to us. And it's full of life. You just have to get the right keys to open up and unlock your heart to those keys or to those truths. And that's basically because David, in his time, was basically a Christian. Exactly what we are today. His life changed when he had a meeting with God. And he received the Holy Spirit to receive power that empowered him to do so much more in the physical than he would have naturally done so. Yeah, he was supernaturally empowered to do amazing things. And we'll read more about that a bit later. Now, I would just like to, we'll be dealing with keys and principles here. And we always use those words, but we sometimes don't really understand what we say when we say a certain word. What does this word mean to us? What does a key mean? For me, I just want to explain a few what I mean by keys and what I mean by principles. Because it's something that you would have to understand to be able to grasp this and to fully understand this. Because the key that I'm referring to here, it's basically a physical key that you can, or spiritual key as well, that unlocks and opens something for us to enter into, that we can receive something. We can, sometimes we lock things for safety, or we can open it and go in and be safe. And that's just the key of it. It just opens something. It cannot do more than that. Now, a principle, I will just read you the definition from the dictionary that I had. A principle is a basic general truth that is the foundation of our moral behavior or faith. It can be a general or scientific law shown in the way a thing works. And this is basically what David did. He had principles. He lived by them. You can read through the whole Old Testament of his life. He had certain principles that he adhered to, that he followed to the letter. And his life was blessed because of that. And we will just lightly touch on them. And I will give you the keys to David's life. And they will be just be keys to you, something interesting. But if you open it and let it into your heart and make it the truth of your life, it can really change your life. It can take you from strength to strength. And these are the basic things that I want to bring you this morning. Okay, I've got a long verse that I want to basically begin with, to define the keys of David and what they mean and how they are, how they can empower us. Now we'll read from 1 Samuel verse 16, from verses 4 to 23. It's a long verse, and I'll constantly be referring back to some of the verses, so bear with me. You can follow there on the screen. And Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come to me and come with me to sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. Now this was because Saul basically sinned against God, and God removed him as king. Not physically yet, but spiritually, he told Samuel, "Listen, Saul, I've turned my back on him. I've cut him off. And you have to basically usher in a new king for Israel." And this is exactly what Samuel did in this part of the section, in this part of the word. And he was preparing, because God gave him a specific word that he must go to Jesse. And from Jesse's family, he will appoint somebody that Samuel has to anoint as the new king of Israel. And he basically did this undercover so that Saul would not realize what he was doing and kill him for that, because he was quite afraid of Saul. But then it happened that he was able to do this, and then he got to Jesse's house, and they basically prepared for the sacrifice. And the Lord allowed the sons of Jesse just to come in. And we'll read this from verse 6. "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely this is the Lord's anointed before him.' But the Lord said unto Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. And the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.' So Jesse called Abinadab, I think, and made him pass before Samuel and said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Then Jesse made Shammah pass before him, and he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Again Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, 'Neither has the Lord chosen these.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all the young men here?' And he said, 'There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said unto Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes.' So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy." Ruddy basically means he was reddish of color. So he had a bit of red hair. "With bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.' Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God troubled him. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player of the harp, and it shall be that he shall play with his hand when the distressing spirit of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be well." And Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me." Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, and prudent in speech, a handsome person, and the Lord is with him." Therefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, "Send me David your son, which is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And it was whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul that David took the harp and played with his hand. Then Saul became refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit departed from him. Now this is a lot of information, but there are lots of keys inside this part of David's life. And it's so important just to identify them, because it's something that we as Christians can relate to. And it's something, the very first key I have is a new identity. Now you might ask, what a new identity, David? But David became a new person the moment he was anointed by Saul to be king of Israel. And more than that, he received the Spirit of the Lord, but we'll get back to that a little bit later. Now what is the significance? How can I say that he received a new identity? How can you say that? Because I can read the word, and there's something very peculiar in this word. And if you read it quickly, you might just miss it. Now, if you look at verse 12, so he sent for him, or let's go from 11, 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest. There he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." So he sent him and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him with the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Now you have to understand, in the family of the Israelites in that time, the firstborn son was like the most precious thing for that family, because he was basically second in command in that family. So my youngest boy is now, Valadim, he's now about 5 years old. He's going, turning six. So in about 5 years' time, he will be my right-hand man. He already knows that. He constantly keeps telling me he's my right-hand man. And I just say yes and amen, because he is that. So, but that was basically in their family. Their firstborn son was the most important member of that family almost. And as the portion of their inheritance portions were basically divided, the largest portion of the inheritance of the father when he passed away would go to the firstborn son. And he would then automatically become the head of the family, all of his brothers and everybody. He received the most, but he also had to take care of everybody else. And as the portion of the inheritance basically got smaller and smaller and smaller, now if you get to around 8, there's almost no portion left for you. You basically receive just a little. And the importance here as well that David was not important enough to be with his father and his older brothers to go with Samuel to the sacrifice. They did not regard him high enough. They did not think him worthy. He might still have been a small child at that stage, I'm not sure. But he was able to look after sheep. And it also says there in the word that there's David, he's there with the sheep. And I often understand, this is a young shepherd boy that is basically the lowest in the family. He's got basically nothing going for him at this stage, because nobody looks up to him. Nobody really, he's just there with the sheep. They have to go call him when there's something important, but they don't think he's important enough to be there at that stage. Now there's something that I said you might miss. And that part is basically when Saul is looking for somebody to play the harp for him. And then one of his servants answers him. And then it's basically from verse 18. 1 Samuel 16, verse 18. Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is skillful in playing and mighty man of valor, a man of war, a prudent in speech and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him." Now you have to remember that David has not yet defeated Goliath. He has not yet grown in stature. And you can also see when Saul speaks to Jesse, he basically asks him, from verse 19, "Therefore Saul sent a messenger to Jesse and said, 'Send me David, your son, which is with the sheep.'" Now, this portion of the scripture, I'm not sure if David's family realized that he's been anointed as the king of Israel. Because that's something that, if you realize that this is the king, he's not maybe the king yet where Saul is, but he's going to be king. I think you would treat him maybe a bit different. Or I would. Okay, he's the king. He's the man. But David is still with the sheep. He's still looking after the sheep. He is still the youngest of the family. And they did not give him a new place in the house. They did not say, "Oh, okay, he's the king. He cannot watch the sheep out there anymore." And you see that how this person answers. There's something new that has changed, where this servant describes David's identity. That he's skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, and prudent in speech, a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. He's changed from the lowest ranking family member to a man of war, a man of valor. And he has not done anything yet to prove that. Not from scripture that I've read so far. So how has this happened? And the answer basically comes for us as Christians as well. When God takes hold of you, he changes your life. He changes your identity. He completely renews you and changes your wiring as well. You're not the weakest anymore. You're not this lowly life that just have to do what everybody else says or does, because otherwise you're not in with the group. You do not fit in. David was basically that person. He was out with the sheep because he did not fit in. And he was still there, but there's a new identity. People started seeing him differently, physically. I don't know, maybe spiritually as well. I cannot say that with certainty. But there's definitely a new identity in David. And we read this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, for us as Christians. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And we as Christians can associate with that transformation, because David became something profoundly more than what he was, than what his station in life was at that stage. He was going where? Someplace. Now, the second key that I've listed here is the Holy Spirit. Because when David was anointed, he received the Spirit of the Lord as well, which we as Christians today can relate to as well. Because we also have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can also receive that power and things that just change us inside of you. There's something inside of you that you just can't explain. You just have it. And that the Holy Spirit clothes us with power, which we'll see later on when David defeated Goliath, the giant, when he was just a boy. Now that basically happens when you are given power, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows us to have something else inside of us. And we read that in the New Testament in Luke 24 from verse 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father to you, but tarry in the city Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high." And that's basically when the disciples of Jesus received the Holy Spirit, and they were empowered by him, because God sent us his helper. And we basically receive that in Acts 10, verse 9 to 38 as well. So right, they have to leave for the hostel, otherwise they might have problems. And then Acts verse 10 from verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, and he went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed and the devil, oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And this is where the Holy Spirit plays such a key and important role in our lives as Christians, and even in David's life, because he used it to the full, just to be able to defeat Goliath with a stick and with a stone. That is not something natural. But David was prepared beforehand as well, because he basically received that power and he was able to utilize it while he was watching the sheep of his father as well, where he defeated the lion. Now, I'm a man and I would really hesitate to approach a lion with just a stick and a sling. Even with a gun, I would hesitate. The hunters around us would also think twice about going after a lion in the bush. Now, David killed the lion with a stick. I mean, this is not just a story. This is real. And for a boy, he was not even a man yet. He was still a boy. But God gave him the power just to not be afraid, just to go for it and save the sheep from a lion's mouth, from the bear. And these are the things that God prepared in his heart already. And the Holy Spirit allows us just to receive that power, an enabling power that gives us the ability to do things supernaturally, which we could not do in the natural. Now, the third key for me is authority. Now, authority might not seem like an important thing, but like the lady in the beginning of the service said, there's something, she chose this to be a family. And when you choose family, there's authority. And where's this? Because we always have the saying in shofar, we are in authority because we are under authority. And that's because God appointed certain people, just like God appointed Saul as king. And David respected that. Even though he was already appointed as the new king, he saw the authority in Saul, that God had placed that authority upon him, and he could not remove that, even if he wanted to. Because Saul basically persecuted him a long time and wanted to kill him, but he would not lift his hand against Saul because he was the anointed of God. David was as well. But Saul was there, and David saw the authority and respected it and would not turn against God's authority. But it also went to his house. David respected the authority of his father. If his father said, go watch the sheep, he went to watch the sheep. His father said, go and look to your brothers and see if they're okay fighting the Philistines. David went. He respected that authority. That authority, even though he was king of Israel, his father still had authority over him to tell him to listen, go and see if your brothers are doing okay. And that is something precious. Even in our houses today, if there's authority and that authority is respected, in the family context, it's a precious thing. Because that family, if there is no respect in a family, no authority, that usually spills over to schools, and you can see that in schools where there's no respect for teachers. And you can directly link that back to home. There's no respect in the home. And that respect and authority goes hand in hand. And it's so critical. And David knew this and he respected that. And God honored him for that. Because from the Ten Commandments as well, one of the commands is to honor your father and your mother. You honor your father and your mother. And it's such an important key. If you get this right, it opens such a blessing upon your life, it will not believe. Now, key four. Now, this is something that we'll come back later to and we'll reflect on, but it's to take responsibility. When God places you in a certain position with certain authority, you have responsibility in that position. And where the key comes in basically for David was that he was basically in authority as a shepherd boy watching his father's sheep. He would tend them. He would look after them. And when his father basically called him, and we'll get to that later, his father asked him to go look and see how his brothers are doing at the war. And David had the responsibility of the sheep. But like most people, I would have probably just, okay, Papa, I would have forgotten about the sheep. But there's a principle there that's really important, because you cannot just let go of your responsibility. It's your responsibility, you have to take care of it. And it's so beautiful the way that David basically actually did this. I don't think I have. Okay, I'll read this directly from the word. when Jesse basically sends David to hear if his brothers are okay. This is 1 Samuel 17 from verse 14. David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near and presented, and the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of dried grain, and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of the 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news from them." And this is basically where that responsibility now comes in, because he was placed over the sheep, and he takes another step. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things, and went to Jesse, and went as Jesse had commanded him. Authority given, he responded to that authority, but he had responsibility, and he placed the sheep in the hands of a keeper while he is gone. And that responsibility for us as Christians is crucial as well, because we have to take responsibility not only for our own lives, but for the lives of the people around us as well. I've been challenged this last few weeks about my work, that I have to make an impact there, not just with my work, but a spiritual impact as well. And that is something that you can't now neglect your responsibilities as a worker there as well, that you still have to do excellently. You still have to perform at school. You still have to do what you do with excellence as unto the Lord. And that is basically where that responsibility just grows and allows you to have authority. Because the minute you understand responsibility, you are able to accept authority. And those two go hand in hand. The next key for me for David was to trust in the Lord with expectation. Now, this is a big key. Because it's easy to trust the Lord, but what is your expectation of trusting in the Lord? Is there an expectation? Is there something crucial that you have to trust the Lord for? Because it's easy to say, "I trust the Lord, the Lord blesses me." But how does He bless you? What does it mean to be blessed? How does the Lord bless you? What is your expectation when you came here to church today? What is your expectation when you go back to school, back to work? What is your expectation of God in that place that you are at? There has to be something. You can't just say, "Well, it's school, I have to just go." "Well, it's work, I have to just go and work." There has to be an expectation. This is something that David understood. There was an expectation in him always that God would perform something, because he was taken from a lowly shepherd boy to the king of Israel. Although he didn't experience it physically, it hadn't manifested physically yet. It was a spiritual promise. It was a promise that God gave him. And he was able to react to it. And this is something that God said, just laid in my heart, with a trust the Lord, with an expectation. If somebody needs to be healed, are we just going to pray for him? And just say, "Oh God, I'm not sure if I've got the gift of healing, but I will just pray." Is there an expectation for God to heal that person you are praying for? And this is something that the devil, the accuser, will come and say, "Listen, that sin you did last week, and now you want to pray for this person for healing? No. I don't think that. You first have to get your life in order and do this and that." And the accuser will make you fear and make you doubt yourself. Usually doubt leads to fear, because now, "Yes, can I pray for this person?" And then you fear, "What if he doesn't get healed? I don't want to pray anymore. Somebody else." Or you just pray, "God, just bless this person," and run away. And you do not address what God has called you to address. And that is something that the Holy Spirit did in David's life as well. He was able to see certain things. And that was basically when he basically took the bread to his brothers. And that Goliath basically called the Israelites to war and said, "Listen, if you defeat me, we will be your slaves. But if you send one that defeats me, we will be your slaves." And there was just that fear of connectation. I don't think those soldiers were afraid of fighting Goliath and dying. But if they were defeated and they died, it meant that the Israel would become slaves. And that fear paralyzed them. They could not, they doubted themselves, because if I make a mistake and I die, then the whole of Israel will be slaves to the Philistines. They could not accept that. And that fear just took them further and further and just made them doubt themselves. And that fear just set in. They would basically be fearful. When Goliath showed up, they would just run. And then David came. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse has commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For the Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper. Again, responsibility. He couldn't just leave his things there and just run to the battle. See, battle. And he gets back. Oh no, everything is gone. Somebody was hungry. So he took responsibility of what he had. He didn't hear the horn and say, okay, let's run there. He first went and placed the things that he had. And David left the supplies at the hand of the supply keeper and ran. Okay, this is 1 Samuel 17 from verse 22. David left the supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath, by the name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, that when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be to that man, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now this is something that the Holy Spirit stirred in David's heart, because he saw this scenario playing off before him. This giant of a man belittling the armies of the living God. And it just felt wrong. How can these men just run away? His brothers, his eldest brother, the leader of his family, is running away from a challenge of a Philistine. And his heart, the Holy Spirit just said in his heart, there's something wrong here. And then he started asking questions. God just made something in him alive, and he asked the questions and said, but then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? The people answered him in manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now here's the important part of scripture that comes. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard what he spoke to the men. Sorry about that. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. Now you have to ask yourself, why did his eldest brother become angry at David for asking this question? It's a legitimate question. But I think somewhere in his heart he felt guilty, because David's questions were real. It was directed at his brother. You are the brother. You are the strong man in the family. You are the leader, second in command, and you are running away from the Philistine. Did not God bless you? Did he not give you a word? Are you not the part of the armies of the living God? And then David just, I think he got angry and said, but how can my little brother that's looking after sheep, give this challenge to me? And he responded in anger. I think like we do as well, when somebody really pushes your buttons and you are guilty. You've got no answer. You cannot say, I am not afraid, because I just ran from the battlefield today. I was terrified. And now my youngest brothers ask me, how can you run from this giant? Are you not part of God's living army? And then he just asked, and here's where the devil often comes. And that small little daggers or arrows that is pointed at our hearts. Then Eliab's anger was aroused against David. He said, why did you come here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and insolence, and the insolence of your heart. For you have come down to see the battle. Now you remember those previous keys that we've had. Authority. David was not there to see the battle. He was there because he was sent by his father to inquire after his brothers. The second key. Responsibility. His brother is accusing him of leaving the sheep alone unattended. But he left him with a keeper. So David's heart was protected because he knew he took the right keys, he had the right principles in place, and his brother could not question them because his heart was right. And the enemy could not let him doubt himself because he followed the steps. And then this part of me, or for me, is, have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Those few sheep for me is key, because he's the king of Israel, anointed. Now this is why I don't know if his brother realized that he was the king, anointed king. Because he is reproaching him, he's telling him, belittling him, attacking his character. You have left him. You are the shepherd boy over a few sheep. And you want to come to us to tell us how we must fight against the Philistines, that big giant that will crush you with one hand. How can you come here, you little sheep herder? But David knew who he was in God, and the Holy Spirit empowered him to ask these questions. And I don't think he himself thought he would take on Goliath. He thought he was inspiring the men, just telling them, listen, you are part of God's army. You can surely kill this man. But that authority or this responsibility was lacking. He could not find it anywhere. Nobody wanted to fight against Goliath. And when he saw that responsibility was lacking, he took the authority and went to Saul. And Saul called him later on. And David said, I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him and toward another and said the same thing. And those people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And that's where the authority comes in. Nobody wants to take authority or responsibility over this. God has stirred it in my heart. I will take that responsibility. I will go out. And God blessed him, and God used him mightily just to defeat a Goliath that seemed impossible. And the men that were there just looked in awe as this young shepherd boy with a sling and stick defeated one man that the whole army was afraid of. And that's just the trust. Do you trust in the Lord with an expectation? Which, like David did, he had an expectation. I will defeat this dog who dares defies the armies of the living God. And that's just amazing to see David's heart and how he just approached these things. Now, my last key is something important, because David was such an awesome example for us. But David also had hard times where he changed man as he was, spirit-filled. He also went through tough times. And the sixth key that I felt I have to share with you is to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Now, before you say amen, who said amen? How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? It's easy to say that, but what does it mean? What does it mean to strengthen yourself in the Lord? I want almost to start pointing fingers now. What's your answer? What's your answer? What's your answer? What's your answer? And everybody will more than likely have a different answer. Because the point where you're at in your life determines the need that you have and what you are trusting the Lord for, basically to strengthen you for. Are you going through difficult financial times? Are you going through difficult academic times? Are you going through social difficult times? And these things, why do you need to ask the Lord to strengthen you for? But how do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? It's a question I had to ask myself. Yes, Lord, I'm going through a tough time. How do I strengthen myself in the Lord? I can pray. I can pray in tongues. What is there? And it's basically, I think I found the answers. And it's in 1 Samuel 23 from verses 14 to 18. And David stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness and remained with the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. And David saw Saul come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. and said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. And my father Saul knows this." I will just stop there. Now David was persecuted by Saul. He was basically, "God, I'm your anointed king, but the real king is wanting to kill me." I can just imagine what that feels like. And just knowing that, yes, I'm doing the right things. I'm not killing the king, Lord. Why is he trying to kill me? Why is he persecuting me? Why this? Why are my friends so ugly with me? Why are my friends not respecting me? Why are my colleagues not respecting me? Why are my children not respecting me? Why this? And there's just situations that you get into that you cannot get out of because of your natural circumstances and our tendency to doubt, fear, and then just become powerless. And this is where Jonathan was such a powerful friend for David, because he strengthened his hand in God. But sometimes you do not have a friend around you to do that. You have to strengthen yourself in the Lord. And David did this as well in 1 Samuel 30 from verse 1 to 8. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag. On the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and had struck Ziklag and burnt it with fire. And they have taken captive the women and those who were there, from the small to great. And they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives had been taken captive as well. Now David was greatly distressed, from verse 6, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. And then the important part, David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, "Please bring the ephod for me." And Abiathar brought the ephod for David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I overtake them?" And the Lord answered, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail, and without fail recover all." Now this is a word that's so awesome to me, because David first strengthened himself in the Lord. He got the power, he got empowered by God again, which allowed him to ask God, "Lord, what must I do now? Give me the word and I will do it." And God gave him the word and said, "Pursue them. You will take back whatever they have stolen from you." And this is so awesome for me, because David, he didn't just jump on his horse. I don't know if they had horses, maybe his camel, and dried after the enemy, because that would have been my first reaction. "They took my wife and my children. I will go and get them back myself." And this is just David's heart. Is there authority in me to go after them, get them back? I want to. This is my heart. I'm weeping for my wives and other men, for their children and their wives. And God he just went to God and strengthened himself first. Now this question still remains, how do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? And I just found this verse in Nehemiah 8 verse 10. "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat fat and drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom have nothing is prepared. For this is the day holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And then David rekindled that joy he had in the Lord. He was able to recall the way he basically defeated Goliath. And that's the thing, that in your heart, you basically get that joy back. The joy of knowing the Lord, joy of serving the Lord, knowing that God is with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And David was able to strengthen himself. Now, I cannot give you that key to show you how to strengthen it right here and right now, but I believe God can show you in your own life what that key to that strengthening in your heart is. And that is something that you need to really search for and ask God for. Now, in conclusion, I just want to read 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." David's life was very similar to us as Christians today. He had the same type of problems that we have, the same challenges, the same amazing experiences, and then very low lows that he had to get himself out of and not allow himself to get stuck in there. And we as Christians have the same anointing today. But so many of us also get stuck in that point. We forget that God is our Father. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us a blessing. And that blessing is something that we so often interpret as material wealth or social prosperity and things like that. And we forget that the real blessing of God is knowing who God is, knowing what His will for us is. And we are able to hear and discern His voice and know His voice and to follow whenever He commands us to do. Because when we're in the perfect will of God, we are blessed. And that is something that we have to realize. And that's basically where I want to end off for now. So can all of us just please stand and close our eyes? Father God, I just want to come this morning, Lord. We just want to glorify Your name, Lord. And just like David did, Father God, that Father, You protected him, Father. You empowered him, Lord God. You gave him the strength, Lord, to endure situations supernaturally, Lord God, which the natural person would not have been able to do, Father God. We just come and glorify Your name, Father, for every opportunity You give to us, Lord, just to Lord, not to test You, Lord God, because we cannot test You, Lord God, but to trust You, Lord, to have an expectancy, Lord God, when there's something in our lives, Lord, that we know You want to change, that we know You want to change, Father, for us to grow from authority to authority, Lord, from glory to glory, Father. That we have to take responsibility of, Lord, first. Lord, so we ask that You show us right here as we stand, Lord God, in our hearts, in our minds, Lord God, what areas in our life, Father, we have not taken responsibility of yet. Where we have not given You the authority, Lord, to come in and change our hearts. Give us a new mindset, Lord, and allow You just to be King that reigns in our hearts, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your grace that is sufficient for all our needs, Father, for everything that we want, that we require. Lord, You are able to provide. Lord, we glorify You and thank You, Lord, that You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of strength, and of sound mind, Lord, that the people that are under the sound of My voice will have and experience that, Lord God. As they go into this week, Lord God, they will have an expectancy to meet with You, Lord God. They will have an expectancy to see Your will happen around them, Father God. We glorify You, Lord God, for us as a church, as a house, Lord, where You are allowed to work and work in our hearts and take command and show us, Lord, where You want to lead us. We submit under Your will, under Your authority, Lord God. The Holy Spirit, that You are our guide, Lord. Just as we prayed this morning in intercession, Lord, that You will show us the way for us to follow, Lord, and we will follow. Just as I prayed, I just want to ask if the Lord showed you something specific in your heart, an area of where you have not yet taken authority, where you have not taken a responsibility to sort that out and allow the God just to heal you. I just want you to raise your hand quickly. I just want you to show to God, to say, God, this is me, this area in my life. You know how I struggle. You know it feels like I can't break through. I can't break free of that thing. I just want You to change that in my heart, Lord. If that's you, I just want you to quickly raise your hand. And then there are people here that I just want to invite, that you have not made the commitment to God. You have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And to say, yes, Lord, I want to be like David. I want to be like Jesus, my Lord and Savior. For He can save you. He can set you free. He can give you your heart's desires. And He can save you from whatever problems you have. If you want to commit to Jesus or recommit to Him, I just want you to raise your hand as well and just say, Lord, I want to recommit. I want to know You. I want You to be the Lord of my life like David had You in his heart when he was able to defeat Goliath, trust You for His word, and show him the way, Lord.